Matthew chapter 28. As you find your place there, I invite you to stand as we read just the last three verses of this chapter, Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And as we spend a few moments in it this morning, we pray that you would help us with understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at the local church. 2 weeks ago we tried our best to answer the question, what is the church? Last week we considered, why is the church important? This morning I'd like to consider the question, what is the purpose of the church? Why does God have us here this morning? Why has Calvary Baptist Church been in existence since 1951? Coming up on 58 years now. 68 years, I can't add, this May. And so exciting what God has done here, but why are we here? What do we need to be doing in order to experience the blessings of God and to fulfill His purpose for us? Well, as I read through the scriptures, there's a number of reasons I could list. I touched on some of them already, and so I'm not going to repeat that. But I'm just going to look at two this morning, that why God has us here. The first, of course, is to fulfill the Great Commission. And I say, of course, because that's where we're at right now in the book of Matthew, chapter 28. After Jesus died, he was buried for 3 days. On that third day, they went to the tomb and found he wasn't there. He had risen from the dead. He spent 40 days on earth with the disciples, preparing them for his eventual departure. Now, he made great promises to them. We find this in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, but he made great promises that the Holy Spirit would then indwell them and lead them and guide them and be another comforter, just as he was with them in person. But now we're at the end of the 40 days as we come to this place in Matthew chapter 28, and he's at the very moment where he's going to ride that cloud up into heaven, where he would leave them at least physically, while they were on earth. They would be reunited in another time when they would go to heaven where he is. But here's the marching orders he gave them. These were his last words to them, and what wonderful words they are. And we just, as I said, call them the Great Commission. Here in Matthew chapter 28, we find the goal of the Great Commission. What does it involve? What does it involve? But I think it's important before we consider what it is to notice what he says to them in verse number 18 when he says, All power is given me in heaven and in earth. You see, we don't have anything in this world or even anything in heaven that can stop us from doing the will of God. There isn't anything. Now, sometimes it may appear that way when we run into roadblocks. And sometimes when we have missionaries come through and they mention how long that they've been on furlough trying to raise support to get to the foreign field, and sometimes we wonder, is there something stopping them? Is there something hindering them? And the answer is no, nothing can hinder God's program for the local church. Because Jesus said all power is given to him in heaven and in earth. So there is nothing more powerful than him. He has all power. And then he assures us, after giving the commission to the disciples at the end of verse number 20, he says, Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And so for all of time, while the church is here on earth, in this world, Jesus says, I am present with you. You have my power. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst, is what Jesus promised them. And so we know this morning that this promise wasn't limited only to, or this commission wasn't limited only to the disciples and the church there in the book of Acts, but it comes down from generation to generation. We have the same commission and we have the same promises that were given to them because Jesus said, I will be with you until the end of the world. And so as we consider the Great Commission, we see what a large task it is to be done. We can understand that it can be done. There's no reason for us to tuck our tail between our legs and to run off from the will of God. There's no reason for us to get down the mouth and discouraged and depressed and say, this is an impossible mission God's given to us. No, He's with us and He has all power. If you're saved this morning, the Holy Spirit of God is with you and you have that same power that the Lord Jesus Christ has, and there should be nothing that can stop you. The only thing that stops us or hinders us is our lack of faith. So what is the goal of the Great Commission, our purpose to fulfill? The first thing we find here is to win the lost. That's involved in verse number 19 when he says, teaching all nations. Now, as we consider the Great Commission, we consider that that's where it technically starts, but we've got to back up. What's the first word in this verse? Too often churches forget this and they overlook this and they can't figure out why their church is dying and why God's blessing isn't on it the way it ought to be. Because we've overlooked a simple two-letter word in the Great Commission that God has given to us, and we read it as, they'll come here and we'll make disciples. And so churches make the church property look as nice as they can, and certainly there's nothing wrong with that, and there's everything right in that. We ought to do what we can to make the church an attractive building, but that's not going to draw people in. We do everything we can to be kind and friendly to our visitors that are with us, and we ought to do that, but that isn't going to win anyone to Christ. The key word in this commission is the word go. Go. Go ye therefore, because all power in heaven and earth is residing in the person of Jesus Christ, and the person of Jesus Christ is indwelling us in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, we have all power, and nothing can stop us, and nothing ought to make us fearful, nothing ought to hinder us from doing the work God has given us to do as a church family. Go ye therefore, and make disciples. Take those that are worshiping in another religion. There are many that go to what's called a Christian church that are actually worshiping another religion because they don't have biblical Christianity, and we've got to realize that. And we're to make the disciples of them. We're to turn them from what they're hoping in, whether it be the sacraments, whether it be their baptism, whether it be the what they call the spiritual gifts. These things that they're trusting in, we want to turn them from the trust in that to trusting solely in Christ of Calvary. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the first part of the first goal of the Great Commission, is to go out and, the way we term it, win souls. When's the last time you won somebody to Christ? We say, well, that's just too hard. We can't do that. People don't get saved anymore. Don't tell Amy and Nancy that. They went out this past week and visited with a lady and presented the gospel. And you know what she did? Now, I don't know what she said, but I'll just put it the way I would have said it if I was her. Hey, that sounds pretty good. I think I'll do that. She got saved. People are still getting saved today. You know why people aren't getting saved today? Because we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. We're happy to tell them if they come to us, but we're not doing the key word that the Great Commission tells us to do. What is that key word again? Go. Go. When's the last time you went? When is the last time you purposely shared the gospel with someone? When's the last time you gave a tract? Now, praise the Lord, a lot of us can say, well, I've done it this week, and we'll give you the opportunity to share that tonight. But no one will get saved if we don't go, or very few will get saved if you don't go. Go and make disciples. That's the first part of the commission. The second part is to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's why we have baptism, scriptural baptism. And notice the order. And this is important because so many have it confused. They have baptism coming before salvation, and that's not in the Word of God because it destroys the typology of what baptism is all about in Romans chapter 6. They get saved, then they get baptized. If you're here this morning and you're not baptized, let me encourage you. It's nothing to pray about. It's just being obedient to God. We call it the first act of obedience in the Christian faith. And it most certainly is that, because you get saved and you get baptized. You tell the world through baptism that I am now a born-again believer. I'm not going to live the way I used to live. I've been raised to walk in newness of life. I'm now going to live like Christ wants me to. The third part of the Great Commission, win the lost, baptize those that get saved, and then instruction. Verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Last week we talked about how God has invested in the local church as the pillar and ground of the truth. That the truth will disappear except God's people, represented as local churches, stand up for what the Word of God teaches. How do we know what's right? And how do we know what's wrong? It's only through the teaching of the Word of God. And that's part of our commission. And that's why we have as many services a week as we have. And that's why if you come back on Sunday night, it's a different message than you have on Sunday morning, which is a different message than you have in Sunday school. And another different message on Wednesday. Trying to teach the whole counsel of the Word of God so that you're grounded in the Word of God and you know what the Bible teaches. If you're only coming on Sunday mornings, you're missing a great deal of that teaching. How are you going to stand up and defend the faith if you don't know what that faith is? And so we do everything we can to help ground you in the faith. We have the Bible Institute. We're starting the men's Bible study. As soon as the books come in, we'll give you a date on that. So as soon as they come in, we'll let you know and we'll get that started. We want you to know God's Word because God wants you to know His Word. That's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. God thinks it's pretty important that you understand His Word, and so He's given it to us as a church family to maintain that as part of the goal of the Great Commission. Win people to Christ, see them take that first step of obedience, and then help them understand God's Word so they can begin to apply it in their lives to observe all things that God has taught them. That's the goal of the Great Commission. Turn over, if you would, to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Here we see the second great passage of the Great Commission. Each of the Gospel writers, and then in the book of Acts we have a fifth verse. But they all have a different focus. And so they all say it in a little bit different words. Saying the same thing, but just a little bit differently because of that change in focus. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There we have the field or the scope of the Great Commission. Now, he doesn't just say go into all the world, but certainly we need to go into all the world. We need to go everywhere that somebody lives. Now, we don't have to have missionaries to Antarctica because people don't permanently live in Antarctica. But we're to go to every other continent where people live. Now, how many of you would like to go up in the Arctic, across the Arctic Circle? Okay. Now, if Gary Forney were here, he is the director of Points North Baptist Missions out of New Philadelphia. And he teaches missions now at Massillon Baptist College. He and his wife spent decades in the Arctic, reaching the people that live there. And his daughter and son-in-law are up there now. And it's always interesting reading their letters because once a year that doesn't thaw, but they wait for the river to get hard enough where they can go down to the main city. Because there aren't roads. You have to just drive on the ice, and you don't want to sink in. It's a different lifestyle. But nevertheless, they're fulfilling the Great Commission that is our responsibility as a church family. Now, we can't reach every part of the world because we're not large enough to do that. But as churches band together that are of like faith, we can fulfill this field of the world and get the gospel to the whole world, but we must do our part. And I just praise the Lord that we're able to take on 4 new missionaries last year going to different parts of the globe. And that needs to be our focus because that's why God allows us to exist. If we want our church to prosper and see the blessings of God, we've got to keep this in mind. Go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not just every part of the world, but every person and every part. And so I like the way God double emphasizes that. Because He doesn't want any people group overlooked. And that's why there's groups out there like First Bible that are translating the Scripture into tongues that or languages that don't have any of the Word of God. And we just picked up support of Ruth Mickle, whose goal is to translate the Scriptures into some of the Iranian people's language. They can read it in Arabic, but that's all they have. But that's not their language. It'd be like us learning Spanish and then reading the Spanish Bible and trying to get something out of it instead of having an English Bible. And so God has raised her up, given her the capability to do the translation work, and she's raising her support to go over there to translate the Bibles for them so that every people, every creature can hear the gospel in their own tongue. But our responsibility as a church is number one. Don't miss this part. This is important. This goes along with that two-letter word, go. First responsibility is to ask God, God, would you have me go? Would you have me go? That should be first. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago that oftentimes as parents we do an injustice to our children because when it comes to career planning, if they can't figure out anything else or don't like anything else, well, okay, you can be a missionary, you can be try being a pastor. We're doing them injustice. What we need to do is we need to present that first and foremost. Does God want you in His full-time ministry? That should be first. And we need to raise our children and train our children so that they have the ability to say yes to God. So that they don't make a mess of their lives before that age of adulthood where they can then train for the ministry. But that should be first. And if God doesn't want them in full-time ministry as a pastor or as a missionary or some other type of Christian worker, then we begin to say, well, maybe an accountant or maybe an electrician or maybe a teacher. Then we ought to think of these other professions. But we do our children an injustice. So the first thing we need to ask ourselves and our responsibility in regards to the field, being the whole world and every creature in that world, is does God want me to go? The second question we need to ask, if God says, no, I want you to stay home and I want you to finance it, is then you need to ask God, how much? How much do you want me to give? What part can I play? See, we do more than just give. Our Ladies Missionary Fellowship does what they can to be a blessing to our missionaries. Thus, we have the box collecting things for Jackie Hopkins. They're doing other things to help make the missions conference a blessing to our missionaries. Have you ever thought about being a part of that? I mentioned, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, how the Ladies Missionary Fellowship is a dying ministry in churches because of a lack of involvement. You see, we're too busy with our own lives. We don't care about the Great Commission. We don't care about being a blessing to those that have asked God, would you send me? And God has said to them, go. And He says to us, no. And we say, well, that's the end of it then. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I'm not going to help them or bless them or do what I can. I'm just going to go live my own life then because God doesn't want me. No, God wants you and God needs you in His ministry. And part of that ministry is to be a blessing to our missionaries. So ladies, if you've never taken part in that, let me encourage you. Be a part of the Ladies Missionary Fellowship. And help be a blessing with the rest of the ladies. Because they're limited. They'd like to do so much more. And they're limited what they can do. Because of the limited resources available to them. The field is the world. And every creature in the world. Look over in Luke. Chapter 24. Verse 47. Jesus, of course, is speaking here and He says to His disciples, and each one of these verses come at the very conclusion of the 40 days Jesus spent with His disciples before He went into heaven. And He said to them, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so here we have the message of the Great Commission. This is what the Great Commission or the gospel message is. It isn't to go out and help people grow better crops. It isn't to go out and dig wells for people that are in arid areas. The Great Commission is not fulfilled in a clothing closet or a food pantry. And I was trying to blend them into the same word and it doesn't work very well. But anyway, even though those are means to an end, those are not the fulfillment of the Great Commission. God is very specific here. There's two things, repentance and remission of sins, preached in Jesus' name among all nations. Now, there's a movement going around today that is separating repentance from salvation. And it's heresy. It is not the gospel message. It is not what the Great Commission is. And so if you listen to any preacher who says repentance has nothing to do with salvation, you just turn them right off. Because that is a wolf wearing sheep's clothing. That's an angel of darkness posing as an angel of light. Because Jesus in His own word says it right here, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations. And so there's repentance, but there's also the remission of sins. That's the death, burial, and resurrection. That Jesus died so that our sins can be forgiven. Those sins that we've committed and that we need to repent of. That's our message. And we need to stick to that message. We're not just trying to make the world a better place. We're not just trying to make people feel good about themselves. We're not just trying to educate people and finances and family matters and marital matters and all these things that so many are doing today because it draws them money and popularity. We're to preach repentance and remission of sins. That's our gospel message. And we should never stray. And the missionaries that we support need to adhere to this to be worthy of our support. Otherwise, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. This is its message. Turn over, if you would, to John chapter 20. In Matthew 28, we saw the goal of the Great Commission. In Mark, we saw the field of the Great Commission. In Luke, we saw the message of the Great Commission. Look in John chapter 20, verse number 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Here we have the personal nature of the Great Commission. He says, "Even so send I you." Just as God sent me into the world to preach the gospel message, to win the lost, so send I you into the world to preach the gospel and send the lost. It's a personal sending that each one of us have as a born-again Christian. It's not an option. It's not something that we can take or leave. It's not something that we can make a decision or anything. It's a command that we've all been given to fulfill and be obedient to. And guess what it is if you don't fulfill it? It's sin. It's disobedience. Just like any other commandment that we break or disobey. And so here we see the personal nature. Now, look over in the book of Acts, just a couple of pages. Acts chapter 1. I said I'd have 2 points on the purpose of the church. We're just going to look at this one this morning. We'll save the next one for next week. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth." Here we see the empowerment of the Great Commission. Now it began in Matthew chapter 28 when Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." But here now we see that we'll get the Holy Ghost come upon us and we'll be witnesses. The Holy Spirit will prompt us, will help us, will empower us to fulfill the Great Commission. And notice the area of the Great Commission. It starts in Jerusalem. And again, so many churches overlook this, and we need to be careful that we don't fall guilty of that as well. You see, the Great Commission starts at home. It's easy to see the Great Commission when we have a missionary come in and present slides of some foreign culture and people that are of a different appearance than us, and we think, man, they really need God because they're so different and they're worshiping idols and they need someone to go. And it's easy to dole out missionary dollars to send that missionary across the world, but it's a lot more difficult when we get up in the morning and we look out our window and we see people that look just like us, that talk just like us, that go to churches that are similar to ours, and we fail to recognize that they too are idolaters, that they too need the gospel just as badly and just as desperately as the people across the seas. You see, it starts in Jerusalem. Have you sought to reach your Jerusalem? We have several communities represented here. Has your community had an opportunity to hear the gospel message? Has your community, your neighbors, had the opportunity to know that there's a gospel preaching church here in Bucyrus, Ohio, that is still doing its best to fulfill the Great Commission? To do all three parts, as we saw the goal of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, that we're still doing what we can, as best as we can. Have you taken the gospel out to them and given them an opportunity by preaching repentance and remission of sins to them? You see, it starts in Jerusalem. Of course, it doesn't end there. There's also Judea. That's why I'd really like to see us pick up a support of a church planter in Ohio. You see, that's Judea. We can't forget about Ohio. Bunch of Buckeyes. They sure need the gospel, don't they? Just like all those Wolverines up in Michigan need the gospel. You know, there's churches all over, and there are. But there's areas of Ohio that don't have a gospel-preaching church that need it. Because those people have no hope. If we're not going there, we need to get someone there to start it. And then there's Samaria. That's the rest of our country. There's nothing wrong with supporting church planters in other states. The United States is one of the largest mission fields in the world. Obviously, China is the largest, and India probably right behind them. But don't overlook the need of the United States of America and their need of the gospel. Just look at our culture. All you have to do is open your newspaper, listen to the news on the radio or the television, and say, you know we need the gospel here. And then there's the uttermost part of the earth. People are there. It's our responsibility to get them the gospel. That's why we're here. We're not here to provide social events, though we do our best to do that. We're not here to feed the hungry and clothe the poor, though that's not a bad thing to do. We're here to fulfill the commission. That's what God has given you to do, has given me to do, has given us to do as Calvary Baptist Church. And as we recognize, not accept, it's already ours, but as we recognize that responsibility, the question then becomes, what part will you play in fulfilling the Great Commission? What part will you personally play in fulfilling the Great Commission? It all starts with just simply saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for giving to us so clearly what we're to do here below as we await your return. Father, may each of us in the room this morning ask you that question, what would you have me to do, with a willing heart and a ready mind? Father, we're all going to make a decision one way or another this morning. May we make decisions that glorify you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.